Well, good morning, moms. It's so great to have all of you and the family gathered together to worship with us this morning. And I'm excited and looking forward to having this opportunity just to come and to speak into your lives, especially today on Mother's Day, to speak to you about being a parent, specifically about being a mother to your children, and just be an encouragement to you. And I hope and pray that at whatever stage of life you are as a mother, that there are going to be portions of this message that's going to speak to you and it's going to encourage you. And it's even going to give you some opportunities maybe to just kind of reboot your life as a mom and just kind of get a fresh perspective and give you some things to think about and some things to do. Now, that said, the message today is what a wise mama says. And of course, we're in our whole series about our Lord saying just before he left this world, he said, "I am with you always." So I want to get across to you how the Lord Jesus is with you as a mother, even in these crazy days that we're in, and doing one of the most important jobs, if not the most important job that you do on this earth during your lifetime, and that is be an influencer for the children that God has given you, or be an influencer to those that are around you. And so what a wise mama says. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. It's the Lord's Prayer. And the message is going to be taken from that, all right? So if you've got God's Word with you, look at Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus said, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." All right, now moms, what I want to do, I want to start off this morning, I want to implant in your heart and in your mind, if you've got your life point outline there, if you're looking at it, this first biblical insight. The first insight is this: all of your life, God wants you to wield the power of influence in the life of your child. Now, that said, let's just kind of look at something kind of at a different angle. If you feel like you've lost that, maybe you say, "Brother John, my children are older, and I feel like just through the course of life, I just sense that I have lost that power of influence in the life of my child." Well, let me tell you possibly why that has happened, or also how it could happen for you younger moms as you move forward through life, something for you to protect yourself against. We lose the power of influence because we lose, there it is, the heart of our children. Parents lose the heart of their children every day, and it is a huge cost. You lose the heart of your child in certain ways. You lose it by emotional or physical abuse, emotional neglect. You're just not there for your child when they really needed you. And when you just fail to connect with your child as they mature. Now, that being said, if you're the parent of an older child and you feel like their heart is closed to you, it's like you just can't talk to them, I want to give you an encouragement. In the book of Genesis, from chapter 37 to the end, there at chapter 50, is the story of Jacob and his 12 sons. Now, Jacob deeply hurt 11 of his 12 sons by giving preferential treatment and showing favoritism toward his next to the last born, which was Joseph. And there was a lot of pain in that family's life for decades, and it's just written there in Scripture. It was a real tragedy in that life. But in Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter, when Jacob dies, you see something that's not surprising, and that is that Joseph, who was like his special one, wept and kissed his father. But in verse 10, the 11 sons who felt alienated from their dad, they also weep. Now, you ask yourself, why does that happen? Well, because Jacob, I believe, in chapter 49, did a redemptive thing. He blessed his sons. He blessed all of them. And I think that was like a way to recoup his relationship with his boys, even though it was at the end of his life. And so it just says, I think that there is hope in every family to end well. And I just want that knocking around in your brain. Where you are now doesn't mean that's where your family has to end. It can end better. But understand this, mom and dad. When a child gets to around 15, and certainly on up to 18 before they leave home from school and, you know, begin college or whatever, you have to realize and remember they are no longer children. Your children, yes, but they're no longer children. They are young adults. And what that means is parental instruction has to change. I cannot treat a 15-year-old son or daughter like I did when they were 6 or 7. It doesn't work. It'll backfire on you. When your child is like 15 and above, you no longer can talk down to them. You have to talk to them. Why? Because they are young adults. And if your young adult child feels dishonored by you, if they feel disdain from you, their heart will become more and more gradually closed to you. Why? Because you have wounded them. Now, what happens is they may obey you physically, but their heart is going to be far from you. And you don't want that. Holding your child's heart all of your life calls for you and I as a mom and a dad to give huge doses of two things, grace and love, into the heart and the life of your child. So mom and dad, if you realize that you have lost the heart of your child, what do you do? Two things. Number one, you ask the Father, God, to forgive you. And number two, you ask that child to forgive you. And be specific about what you're asking forgiveness for. And why do you do that? Because influencing your child is a God-given responsibility that doesn't end until you die. So look at the insight in your outline. Once a parent, you're a parent the rest of your life. And your parental influence is foundational. It is foundational for the future of your child. And here's the reason why. In your notes, here's the truth. Directing your child toward God is the most important thing in life. Your child, our children need to know God more than they need to know how to succeed in business. They need to know God more than they need to learn how to be popular in school, how to hit a baseball or throw a football. Why? Because none of those things are going to go into eternity. But God is. So here's the insight. Mom, God didn't create your child and your body so that they could just grow up, go to school, get a job, and retire and die. God created your child so that they would know Him in a relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. I grew up in a home that I know really loved and cared for me. I grew up in a home where we went to church on Sundays. But I can't remember a single time in the 18 years of home life that my mom and dad ever opened the Bible along with me and read it to me. Now, mom and dad loved me. They provided for me. They gave me so much. I was not emotionally neglected as a child. Mom and dad lived good, honest, go-to-church-on-Sunday lives. But mom and dad both came to realize that they were lost. Lived all through my life not guided by the Holy Spirit. Both my parents were saved after turning 65. So, here's what I'm going to say to you. Two things. Maybe the home that was mine was yours. That's your experience as well. Or maybe the home that was mine is yours. That you as a parent don't have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're a member of our church or some church, but you are not born again. Here's what God says. Here's His promise. Whosoever will can come. And Paul said, what must I do? Well, the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul, said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Now, if that's where you are, let's pray right now. And you ask Christ to come into your life. All right, let's just bow right now. All of us, wherever you are, let's all bow our heads. We're going to be praying for men and women who are listening this morning who need to make a decision because God has convicted you. You have no memory of ever asking God to save you. You remember being baptized. You know you've been in the church. But you have no memory of actually asking God to save you and forgive you and surrendering your life to Him. So here's what we do. You can pray with me. Father in heaven, I have no memory of ever asking you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life. But right now, I am confessing, I know Jesus died on the cross for me. And I believe Jesus is my only Savior and my hope of heaven. I want to invite Christ to come into my life. I give my life to the Lord Jesus right now. And I ask you to come in and live inside of me and forgive me of my sins. Help me to learn how to walk with you and obey you. And as soon as I can, I will follow you in believer's baptism, and I will join a church of believers and begin to learn how to be your disciple. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you did that this morning. And if you did, we would love to know about your decision. Please contact us. You can go online to harmony-hill.org and let us know about your decision. Let us help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. All right, there are two primary thoughts I want to leave with you this morning, and let's get into them because our time is going. Number one, a parent's responsibility before God. As a mom or as a dad, even this morning, I speak to you dads as well, there are a couple of things that are your primary responsibility as a parent that I want us to think about on this Mother's Day. And it is, number one, that as a parent, God expects you to establish a spiritual foundation in the home. That's the will of God for you as a parent. All right, so look at the truth. You'll never influence your child if you lose their heart. I just want to bring this back again because I think this is so huge in answering the question why many parents feel like they're separated and alienated and they have lost contact with that child. Maybe you need to put a word to it. You've lost their heart. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says this. This is huge. Fathers or mothers, do not what? Do not exasperate your children. Now, this is in your notes. How do you do that? How do you exasperate your child? Because this, you'll lose their heart if you do that over time. Well, you exasperate your child, number one, if you set a performance standard so high they can't, one, meet it, and number two, they get to the place that they just give up. Why? Because they're exasperated. Now, every child is different. Understand that. What you may do for one child that may challenge them and propel them forward. I mean, they get it. Yeah, challenge me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go after this. And you get a home run with that one. But you can't do that same thing for every child because the next child may feel absolutely overwhelmed. Why? Because every child's different. So it's not one size fits all. Every child has to be raised differently and treated differently because they're different individuals. But number two, you exasperate your child when you are an unpleasable parent. And you just got to do some self-eval on that, mom and dad. Listen, never lose the heart of your child. Never. Why? Because if you have their heart, you've got God's greatest gift to you as a parent. You know what that is? It is the power of influence. And you desperately need that in the heart of your child. Now, number two, the second thing God wants you to do in your home is secure God's blessings on your grandchildren. I want you to be preparing for the future. That's what I'm already thinking about. Catherine and I both. Listen, there's a very scary verse in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. God says, this is it. God says, my people are being destroyed. Now, what he's talking about is the family unit. Family peace, joy in the family is being destroyed. And then he tells us why. He says, because my people don't know me. So what God is saying is, because one generation is failing to pass on the faith to the next generation, they are losing the life of the family. Here's the insight in your outline. God says, when a man or woman or youth doesn't know him, life falls apart. That's just a truth of Scripture. If your family doesn't know the Lord, if you're not putting God in your home in a meaningful way, your family will gradually begin to splinter. If not now, later on in the lives of your children and your grandchildren. God says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. And then he adds this, since you have forgotten the laws of your God. Now listen, I will forget to bless your children. Listen, the future of my grandchildren depends on what I am doing right now in the life of my own two sons and the grandchildren that I have. And God says that if any generation of parents forgets to teach their kids spiritual instruction, if you fail to do that, if you fail to point your kids toward God, if your kids don't catch that God is important to you, He's not just an addendum, God is important. Listen, the world will steal the heart of your child. They've got to know God is important. He's not just an add-on. He's not just something you do on the weekends when you don't have anything else to do. God is important to your family. If they don't catch that, they won't have it and pass it on to your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Because why? Because you failed to teach your kids the importance of God. God said, I will forget your kids. I won't be there for them in the way I could be. So here's the encouragement. You can secure the blessing of God down to your great-grandchildren by making God the center of your family today. Oh, man. That's what God is saying. God says, I want to do good to you. How do you do that? Psalm 78, verse 5 and 6 just lays out this promise. All right, I just want you to know it's not something I'm saying. Psalm 78, verse 5 and 6. This is from the New International Version. Now watch this. God commanded their forefathers, all right, so he's talking to a group of parents, to teach their children, that's the first generation, so that the next generation, number two, the grandchildren, would know the Lord, even children, number three, the great-grandchildren yet to be born, who would in turn tell their children, that's the great-grandchildren. I can affect the lives of my great-great-grandchildren by what I put into my two sons and into the grandchildren that are around me right now. So if you didn't come from a Christian influence background, you can start that chain of blessing today. Look at the truth in your outline. More important than your financial success is if your kids have the favor of God. After you're dead, you can determine today to leave a generational blessing on your home. I mean, more than passing on wealth to your kids, pass on to your children when you're dead and gone the blessing and the favor of God on their life, that God will be with them. All right, so how are you going to do that? That's number two and the last part of the message. Number two, teach your kids the truths of the Lord's Prayer. All right, let me give this to you. We're going to run through this. All right, number one, the first thing we teach them is God wants an intimate relationship with them. All right? Our Father who art in heaven. He did not say our Creator. You could say that. You say our Creator who art in heaven. But he didn't say that. Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father who art in heaven. I remember when Jordan and Christian were growing up, that is the one thing that I wanted to hear more than anything from the lips of both of them. I wanted to hear them say, my Father who art in heaven. I want that for every one of my grandchildren. That's what you should want. Now, why is them being able to say, my Father who art in heaven, why is that important? It is because today, 25% of white kids grow up without a father in their home, 25%. 50% of Hispanic kids do, and 75% of black kids are growing up without a dad in their life. We need that father figure. All of us need that. That protector, that guider, that director. And there's so many moms and dads are distant to their kids emotionally, and they're moody, they're inconsistent. There are kids today, ladies and gentlemen, who don't even know if their parents really love them. So look at the truth in your outline. The number one problem of youth today is insecurity. Insecurity. And that happens generationally. This is how God says it's handled. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. You see, God doesn't say, I won't ever leave you if. He says, I will never leave you, period. My two boys needed to know that about the God of heaven. That if dad was gone, if mom was gone, there was a father in heaven who would be with them. Your kids need to know that. Our children are growing up in a world of competitiveness and competition and comparing. Kids today compare their hair to each other, their clothes, their aptitude, their academics, their athletic ability.
Our kids are growing up in such a competitive society. Big you, little me often comes across. Look at this insight in your outline. Your daughter, your son desperately needs in your home to know you love them and accept them. And God does too. That's what your kids need to know. And if you get that across to them, you have done a great work, mom and dad. How do you teach them that? You teach them with words, and you teach them with physical affection. You are affectionate with your kids, boys and girls, moms and dads. That's what God calls us to. All right? So then number two, you teach your kids God's name deserves honor. And the Lord's Prayer says, hallowed be thy name. God's name, our kids need to know God's name is who he is. And you don't use the name of the Lord unless you are speaking to him. And why is that important? Because today you hear people all the time. I just cringe when our people, something happens that surprises them and they're like, OMG. You know what I'm talking about? But they don't say that. They take the Lord's name. And what they're doing is, and maybe you say that. Maybe you heard your kids do that. It is horrible. It makes me cringe inside. Why? You are taking God's name in vain. You are using the name of he who is holy. You're using the name of him who has created everything. Your child, mom, needs to be taught that God is bigger than anything. He is the center. He is the creator of everything. And in the Ten Commandments, God puts not using his name in vain right up there with don't commit murder and don't commit adultery. I mean, right along with those huge things, he says, don't abuse my name. Don't use my name in a flippant way. And so that's what we need to teach our kids. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. Why do I need to do that, mom and dad? Because if you want God's blessing, you will honor his name. That's what we need to teach our kids. All right. Number three, God's plan is the life plan. That's the third thing you teach your children. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's plan is the life plan. The most important thing when kids say, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. What do you mean saying? What does God want you to be doing? Are you doing what God wants you to do? That is the life plan. Look at the truth in your outline. God has a bigger plan, and it's the one he will bless. That means your child needs to be taught that he or she isn't the center of the universe. Life isn't all about them. It's not about our kids doing just what they want to do. It's them being asked by you and me, what does God want you to do? What does God want you to do with your life? Now understand, listen, this means if little Miss Princess or His Majesty gets his or her way all the time, and it's all about them, you understand you and I will be raising an insecure, unhappy son or daughter. Why? Because life has boundaries. Life isn't all about them. Little Miss Princess and Little Miss His Majesty needs to learn life isn't about them. They are just two small cogs in the wheel called life. There were millions of people who were born before them. There will be millions of people who will be born after them. They are barely, and they need to be taught this, you are barely a blip on the screen of life. But you understand this, you are a blip that God made. And God has a purpose for you. And this is in your notes. There are four basic questions that every child needs to answer in life. And you and I as parents do as well. What are those four questions? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? And what's the purpose of my life? Your child needs to be able to answer those questions from a biblical perspective. And those are questions that only God can answer for them. They need God's answer. That's why you want to teach your child the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. That the purpose of life itself is the spread of the kingdom of God. No matter what I'm doing, doctor, dentist, lawyer, you know, grocery store owner, whatever I'm doing, I do that to make a living, but I spread the kingdom of God to make a life. Your will be done. Your will for my life, Lord, is what I need to be doing. Does that make sense? And so your child needs to understand that. So look at those questions. Where did I come from? What's the answer to that from the Word? Where did you come from? You came from the plan and the purposes of God. That's why you're here. That God gave you to us. Well, why am I here, Mom and Dad? You're here to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and to serve their purposes all the days that you live. Well, where am I going? Well, you're either going to live with Him in heaven forever, or you're going to live apart from Him forever in hell. And you can make that decision right now while you're on this earth. Well, what's the purpose of my life? God's purpose for you is to get as many people to heaven with you as you possibly can and disciple them to follow Christ. You see, that's the purpose of life. All right, look at number four. God is the supply of all of our needs. Our kids need to know that. Every child needs to be taught at home that God is the resource of their future. Why? Life is scary. We're in one of the most scary times, I suppose, that maybe has been in any of our generations, any of our lives. So many people, over 25 million people are out of work in America right now. Our children need to be taught that God is the resource for their future. And Mom and Dad, you're the ones to teach them that. And you teach them that by showing it by how you're living right now, even in these scary times. They need to know, even in times like this, God is your resource. The reason you're able to sleep at night is because you believe God is going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. And here's the truth in your outline. The goal of child raising is to lead them from dependence on us to independence to dependence on God. You see, children are born and they're dependent on us for everything. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But we gradually learn to teach them to be independent. We want them to be that way, to make it on their own, to make good decisions. But then we also want to teach them to be always dependent on the Lord. How do you do that? You let your children know in the best way that you can that meeting the needs of your life, that you as parents, or especially as a mom, there are times that you're on your face before God and you're looking to Him to be your supply because there's things in your life that you can't do on your own. Your kids need to know that. They need to see us calling out to God and asking Him for His help. God, help us. We ask You to work this out. We ask You to open up doors of opportunity. Your children need to hear You praying that so that they know and they understand this was the faith of my fathers. My mom, my dad looked to God to meet the needs of their life. They need to know that. Number five, God forgives us so that we can forgive others. All right, here's the truth in your outline. The two greatest emotions of life are guilt and resentment. Guilt and resentment. Why? Guilt. Because your child, my children, my grandchildren are going to wrongfully hurt others and they're going to know they did that. So they're going to feel guilty. But number two, they're also going to feel resentful because other people are going to wrongfully hurt them. That's life. God doesn't want those emotions controlling you and me or our children. And so what does He teach us in the prayer? Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. So we teach our kids, they can't expect perfection of themselves. You're going to mess up. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You're going to say things that you shouldn't say. And you need to learn, you can't expect other people to be perfect either. Other people are going to hurt you because they're imperfect just like you. That's why Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. That means you, me, your kids, the Pope, everybody has sinned. All of us carry regrets and guilt and shame. But God said, I don't want that to be the story of your life. I don't want you living with regret and guilt. So 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at the insight. Your child needs to be taught to confess their sins daily to God, asking His forgiveness, then be willing to offer forgiveness to others. Because if God will not forgive me, if I don't forgive others. And they need to be taught that. So here's the truth in your outline. Your child's greatest challenges in life are going to be relational. Relational. That's where their big battle is going to be. Getting along with others, getting along with their future spouse, your future son-in-law or daughter-in-law. That's going to be their greatest challenge. All of us, mom, dad, kids, we have to learn, number one, to accept the forgiveness of God for what we've done. We have to learn to ask others for forgiveness, and we must learn to offer forgiveness to those who hurt us. Which brings me to my last thought, and that is this. There is more to life than right now. Your kids, my grandkids, need to know that. There is more to life than just right here. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Your child, my children, my grandkids are growing up in a society that is so focused on here and now. People are thinking about dying. And people are dying at a horrible rate right now. Your child, mom, needs to know from you that this life isn't all there is. And you are the one to drive that home to him more than anything else. Even though my mother wasn't saved, I remember my mother leading me to ask God to forgive me. Now, she obviously thought she had done that, but she hadn't. But she taught that to me. I learned that from my mom. Your kids need to hear from you. There is more living on the other side of the grave than on this side. They need to be so focused on eternity. And you and I, that's the work of a mom. So, mom, let me close with this. Women of God, these are challenging days that we're in. I know that's not revelational to you. And listen to me, your parental goal, the goal for you mothers, is not perfection. Please release yourself from that. You cannot be a perfect mom. But your goal is day-to-day trust and dependence that God will get you through this. And he will strengthen you to become the mom that he wants you to be, that your kids need to be. So this Mother's Day, I want you to remember, just write down somewhere, John chapter 11. At the end of John chapter 11 is where Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, is that a verse for a mom or what? "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And what does Jesus say that he'll give you? He says, "I will give you" what? "Rest." But what, I want you to notice what he didn't say. Jesus did not say, "Come unto me, all you moms who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you relief." He said, "I will give you rest." God does not promise to relieve you from the storms of life. But he does promise if you walk with him, he will give you rest, emotional, spiritual, mental rest in the midst of the crazy days of your life like today. And your kids need you to be at rest in the midst of the craziness of this day. So as you face the challenges of these days with everyone at home all day long for weeks on end, I've got a verse for you, and it's there in your life point outline. It's Lamentations 3:24. It's from the Contemporary English Version. And just listen to this verse, Mom. This is your verse from God. "Deep in my heart I say, the Lord is all I need. I can depend on him." God bless you, Mom, on Mother's Day. God's got a plan. You can do this with him. It's not about perfection. It's about trusting him and leaning on him. Let me pray for you on this Mother's Day. Father, thank you for all these moms who have listened and joined with us today. And I pray, Father, for these women who need to come to you. I pray already that there are women who have prayed the prayer to receive Christ as we listen today. And Father, I ask you to bless them with a blessing, who call out to you and who turn to you and who say, "Father, you're my resource. My eyes are on you. I want to teach my kids the Lord's Prayer. I want to teach them those things that you've outlined in that prayer that teach truth to my kids so that they will chase you all the days of their life. I want your blessing, Father, on my great, great grandchildren." So, Father, give wisdom to these women who listen today. Bless them with your blessing. Thank you, Father, for your incredible love for us. And we thank you for being with us in these crazy days. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, moms. God bless you guys.